I'll be your host for today. This time we'll take you to the world of ESCN finances. And I promise this is not as boring as it may sound. Let me present to you Francisco, the main chair of our finances committee, and Alessandro, a former ESCNer and FICO active member. Welcome, Francisco and Alessandro. It's lovely to have you here.
Hi.
Hello.
I think we can start by getting to know you a little bit better. Francisco is a fellow Portuguese ESCNer and a close friend of mine. But for those who don't know you, can you start by telling a little bit about your ESCN journey so far?
Hello, my name is Francisco, as Claudia said. I entered ESCN in September 2017. I mean, my local section is Porto, Portugal. Basically, I've done a bit of everything. I was a secretary, human resources manager, partnership manager, and right now I'm a FICO chair, alongside with also treasurer of ESCN Porto. And I also do some of partnership manager for ESCN Portugal. So as you can see, I do a bit of everything. Because I don't have anything useful to do in my life, I think.
3 amazing years of ESCN for you. And Alessandro, what about you? When did you join ESCN and how was your journey?
Well, my journey was pretty long, let's say, if compared with Francisco one. I started in October 2013. Well, I was a treasurer in my local section. I entered Italian FICO and I became a coordinator of FICO Italy. I then became the partnership manager as well of ESCN Italy. Then later I entered FICO International. After a bunch of years, I then applied as ESN Card International Coordinator. So I managed the ESN Card team of ESN International for 2 years.
All right, that's exactly a long journey, as you said. And are you currently working in the area? What are you doing exactly and where? Since we are the Erasmus generation, I believe we are all spread all over Europe.
It's a bit, like you said, the Erasmus generation, it's we're all spread through Europe, but no, I'm in Portugal still. When I finished my my studies and when I was trying to leave ESN for the 11th time, I was looking forward to go abroad, to work abroad in Central Europe, but some lucky thing made me stay in Portugal, and now I'm working for an Israeli company here in Porto. So I'm working for them for a year now. It's been a good thing now to start. It's amazing there.
Amazing. But do you still have any prospects on going abroad after this?
Yeah, of course. I think that all of us wants to go abroad at least one more time after Erasmus. And I want to go abroad. I want to go back to Warsaw, I hope, if I can make it. But yeah, definitely go abroad soon.
Okay. And do you guys have any financial philosophy? I heard by my research that this is a thing, like something that can help you decide how to use your money or like to help you live the lifestyle you want, for example. Do you have one?
Well, I think in ESN, it's really hard to have a philosophy on how to spend money because, well, we only have money for ESN and basically that's it. We live and spend money with ESN. I actually have 2 philosophies in life, in financial, that I carry with me. And the first one is that an idiot with a plan can beat a smart man with no plans at all. So this is really important for me because it makes you think about the most important is some things in lives are not rocket science. So it's about having a plan and knowing where you stand and where you want to go. And the second one is that the best investment you can make is in yourself, because the more you learn, the more you'll earn. So it's a Warren Buffett quote, but it summarizes pretty good my philosophies.
Amazing. I would like to know, how did you become interested in finances or economics? And actually, if your volunteer work at ESCN help you in any way to define that professional path?
A lot of people ask me this question. How are you interested in finance? Because it's so boring. It's just numbers, Excel, and in the end of the day, you don't even have money to go for a beer. Well, since I remember and I start watching television, I wanted to work in finance and economics, mainly because one of my hobbies when I was a child was to sit up in front of TV and just watch the price of the oil every day, you know, and I knew that, well, the oil price goes down, it's good because you can travel, because gas is cheaper. That was the only assumption I had. That's when I start to become interested in economics and finance. After that, it was just build up stuff that you have throughout your life. In terms of my professional path, and I think Alessandro shares it with this with me, and probably you, Claudio, and everyone that is in ESN, is that a lot of stuff that you do in ESN will help you in your career.
Yeah.
Even if you don't work in the area, just the ability to go to meetings, to write emails, for example, it looks simple but it's not, and the ability to focus and to multitasking and to work as a team, besides all the human abilities that you developed with all the Erasmus and the soft skills that are so important. I think that it just not define my path in professionally, but defines all ESNers. I think that no ESNer can say no to this.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. You probably learn things in ESN because we learn so many soft skills, and not only soft skills, in ESN. So you probably feel like nowadays you use them in your job.
I think that write emails is the biggest improvement I had since I joined ESN. I didn't know how to write them.
Don't we all love a good Gmail workshop?
Probably I still don't, but I'm way better than I was before. You learn how to present ESN, that it's hard, that when you have to write a simple email, it's like it's just, mm-hmm. it's peanuts, so it's no problem at all.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that right now, especially if you go to the work, to companies to present yourself or to deliver a CV, the first thing they are looking, it's less and less your art skills, so your course, your educational background, and more to the things that you actually did, your soft skills. Mm-hmm. You do so many things in ESN that you start to do that when you are going to do that for a company, they know that, I don't have to worry about these baby steps because they already had it.
Exactly.
As a huge improvement in your prospects of career.
So far, you can say that ESN helped you in that part of your lives.
Yeah, of course. More than anything, I think. More than my course in economics.
Great.
Yeah.
Which projects would you like to implement or see being implemented in ESN right now?
That's a tough one. So many things we do correct and good that it's, if you need to start a new one, it's not easy.
Yeah, you as an active member right now, do you idolize anything? I don't know, do you have any prospect on a project to implement?
I would say, and I'm going to do something that we already do in my local section, is that I would like, and it's already a cause of ESN, for us to promote the sustainability and to make kind of a ESN green project that is European and that actually contributes for the environment, even though that we know that, for example, we use travel a lot and stuff, but mm-hmm. what we can do in the other fields except the flying and traveling, that we could probably make a huge impact. I think that's something that I would like to see implemented.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Which advice would you give to someone looking forward to starting a career in finances right now?
Don't go down that road, okay? Then you end up like Alessandro that study law and now he doesn't want anything with it. No, joking. It's really hard to motivate someone to go to finance if they don't like finance, you know? If you have the interest of numbers, if you like to manage budgets and, because in the end of the day, we all do some finance with our own. So it's if you want to upscale that and if you want to be able to live a good life, for example, you should try it. In the end of the day, it's funny. You learn Excel skills, at least. When you work in finance or economics, let's put economics, it's a broader concept, is that you can actually work in all the fields. You can go work with an architectural company. You can go work in a health institution. You can work with Coca-Cola. You can work with Ryanair. You can work in all, so many areas that you can do almost everything. So sometimes finance is not a way of end in itself, but it's something that you can work in the fields that you like the most.
Right, now it's time for a little game. I'm assuming you're familiar with Would You Rather?
Yeah, who doesn't?
Of course.
So I did a little research and found some interesting ones by Inspire Financial Learning website. So here goes. You need to answer sincerely and tell us the reason of your choice, okay? So, number one, would you rather have 1,000 euros a day for the rest of your life or have 1 million euros in the bank today?
1 million today?
Yes.
I'll choose that.
Why?
Why did I prefer to have 1 million euros in my bank account today?
Yeah.
Well, because I prefer to have the money on this side than on the other side, that's first. And then 1,000 euros in 10 years will probably be worth not much than today. 1,000 euros in the future is like 800 euros today. It's a technical thing, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, if you are listening, always choose money now and not in the future.
I agree with you, Cisco, because actually in the time of crisis we are now with 1 million euros you can do some investments,
yeah.
Which later on will, after this crisis, will somehow give you an award if you're doing good decisions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, next one. Would you rather live the rest of your life financially comfortable or live 20 years like a millionaire, but then be poor afterwards?
Oof. Tough one. I'll say, again, I would go with the first. I don't know what Alessandro is going to answer. I'll prefer to be financial stable, although I don't, comfortable, although I don't like being comfortable, but I would go with the first one because I don't want to be poor if I'm being a billionaire.
You want to have good retirement years.
Yeah, it must be really stressing to be millionaire and then being poor. It must be stressful. What about you?
I will go with the second approach. My girlfriend might kill me. She's Dutch and, you know, budgeting and planning and security and money are really, really important. But I would rather be a millionaire for 20 years, fix some stuff I would like to fix with my family and with my friends, give a good, let's say, financial situation to the future generation, and then stay just poor for the rest of my life. I always said that my dream is to have a small house in the mountains with some... We like a small farm and a restaurant where to provide some good food to people and just live off this money and without big money on my pockets, let's say. Just spending whatever I earn every day and that's it.
Well, now I'm ashamed of my answer.
No, no. But that's a good retirement image. I can totally see that. All right, next one. Would you rather walk away with 1,000 euros? Or flip a coin to see if you could win 5,000 euros.
Alexander, you can go first now. I want to see what you answer.
I go back to what you said in the first question. I would take the money now instead of dreaming of five times more. Well, when you have 1,000 euros, you can invest them again and probably get five times more. But at least you have 1,000 euros and you don't... wait for the lucky side of your life. No. I was always unlucky in my life, so.
Well, if I had to choose, I think it depends. If I had 1,000 euros already in my pocket, I would flip the coin to risk it. But otherwise, again, I prefer to have the money on my side and not on their side.
Very well.
More beers for me.
Thinking about present. Would you rather be 100% debt-free or have a good credit score?
There's a politician that once said that debts, they are not paid, they are managed. So it means that you actually don't have to pay your debt as long as you keep a good credit score. So I would prefer to give a good credit score. It means that I borrowed, but I paid in time. So it means I'm doing good in my life.
I want to sleep in my life. So I prefer to have no debts at all. Again, this is coming from my desire to be a millionaire for 20 years and then be poor. Better to pay everyone and better to be friends of everyone than having debts and manage them in a way that can make someone angry, because then when I start to be aggressive with money, is like better not to deal with me.
I like that your answers have been like almost always different. It makes it interesting. Last one. Would you rather, for the same amount of money, have a job you love, but you would need to work 60 hours a week, or... have a job you hate and work 40 hours a week?
Alessandro, you can go first as well.
Well, I would really do the job I love. I would not do a job that I don't love, because I know how much stress this situation can bring if you don't love what you do. Like, when you love something, when you love your job, you can do that for really most of your life without feeling actually the same pain of doing something you don't like for less time.
Well, if I have to answer this, I think all ESNers would...
Don't say you too, huh?
No. No. I would say that all ESNers will choose the jobs they love, only because, well, we give so many hours to ESN for free that if you do something you love and you are being paid, I think it's the best thing that you can have. I would not consider work, and I think that's why ESNers don't say that I work for ESN, because we don't work for ESN. We do what we want to do there. And I think that if you have something that you really love and you're actually getting money for, it's no problem working 60 hours a week. Mm-hmm. It's like doing something that you love, like run or to play football. It's the same. You know, you don't count that as work. You count that as pleasure. So I think it would be the same.
Yeah, I agree with that one. All right. Great, we did this game. Now let's talk a little bit about FICO. For those who are not familiar with this committee, it aims to support the treasurer of ESN International in his activities, in case this year my fellow Portuguese João Vasco, and assist the network with finance-related materials. So first of all, I want to ask you, why did you decide to join this committee? Alessandro can go first. You started early in this committee.
I started earlier, yeah. So I decided to join this committee because at that time, that's something kind of secret, it was considered to be the hardest committee where to enter. Many, many applicants and many, many were rejected. Also high quality and blah, blah, blah. So a friend of mine was accepted. He was the vice chair of the Italian FICO and he was enjoying it a lot. And he was keeping saying, oh, but you know, we spoke about this in FICO and you really have to join, you really have to join, you really have to join. And so I said, okay, well, now I'm partnership manager of ESN Italy, you know, I'm the partnership manager of one of the biggest countries in the ESN network. If they don't accept me now, they will never accept me anymore. And so I applied and I entered. But I decided to join in order to generally bring my knowledge to a higher level, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Both of ESN and both of the economic
negotiation
thing. At that time, there was a negotiation team, so I was directly involved with the partnership manager. And that was really, really cool for a partnership manager of the national level.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I had no idea.
There were also a lot of girls, which was something kind of important for any ESNs. Come on, yeah. Yeah, the audit team especially was pretty into girls. I think they are really, you know, they search for details and they love audit sometimes. So there were plenty of those.
Oh, that's great. How is it today, Francisco, in the committee?
Well, I think I'm going to quit after, okay? After this this podcast, I think I'm going to quit, Alessandro. It's not how it is, how it was before, for sure. But the reason I joined FICO, again, it was more than a year ago, is, well, I was in my local section. I was comfortable already, and I don't like to be comfortable. And it just came to me, you know, we receive an email, oh, finance committee is recruiting. So I said, oh, well, okay, let's try to this. I have an economic background. I'm in a nice section, so maybe I will be accepted. And I wanted to also learn more about these financial things that the ESN has, because I'm interested in this. But also I wanted a bit of, like Alessandro said, like I want to bring new things to the table. I want to bring my ideas and I want to help where I can help. And I thought it was just the normal thing to do if you wanted to do a finance life in the future. And also I think, okay, maybe it's going to help with my career and I'm going to learn more stuff. And it's actually true. I learned a lot in this last year.
That's great. What has been, in your experiences, the biggest challenge of the committee so far?
Go, Francisco, you first.
When we are in a volunteer association, it's I think always, especially on this international level, that you don't have physical meetings as you wish. It's always the human resources, you know. It's not easy to motivate people that are not easily motivated, for example. It's hard to keep them connected to the topics, you know, because if you have a meeting and it's everything goes really well, you are physically there, you do a lot of stuff, but then it's really hard to put that throughout the year with no meetings and no physical meetings and no physical contact. So I think that's the hardest part of the committee. I don't know how it was in the time of Alessandro, but
at my time, let's say it was, well, 2015, 16 and 17, the biggest challenge of the committee, in my opinion, but many others may have different opinions, was the adaptation of the committee itself to the expansion of the ESN office, the new tasks that the ESN office were taking. There was also at that time a different approach of the treasurer and of the partnership manager, which decided to bring all the negotiation and all the contracts and all the partners things more into the ESN office and a bit less into the FICO. It was starting the transition, let's say, from FICO as supporting the treasurer to FICO more supporting the network. That was the kicking point, let's say. For us to support the network was pretty a new thing. There was this adaptation that was really tricky. I think I was involved in three different changes of structure of FICO, which makes sense because every treasurer, as we support the treasurer and generally the IB, every treasurer and every structure of the office has a different impact in what are the needs of the treasurer. So FICO needs to adapt to that. And for me, it was kind of tricky because that changed a lot.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It's also true.
Francisco, you mentioned earlier motivation, that it was hard to keep those high levels of motivation. And it's actually related to my next question. Because finances or economics can be seen a bit as a hard and very technical subject. So how do you think you can improve the attractiveness of FICO, for example?
I think that too, Alessandro being here and not being no economic background, let's say, I think it answers that question. You know, all the technical things that you do in finance and in the committee are not that technical when you start doing them. So it's basic things that we do in terms of FICO. Of course, in terms of finance and in the economics, again, you can do so many things. I have people that work in finance and they are working in the hospital, so they are not doing like hard Excel files and hard formulas and stuff that no one understands. So they are doing what they like to do. So I think it's like a bit like Alessandro said. So you can join FICO and you can come to finance without a background, and you can still be successful. You can still do stuff there, because there's a lot of finance and economics that are done by personal contact. And all the technical things, again, you can learn throughout your life. It's nothing that well. So I think that covers it. I think the attractiveness is not stop looking just for the technical things, but on the less technical things that you can develop, and you can develop a lot. Mm-hmm. When you go to a meeting with a new partner, you don't need to take your Excel file with you. You don't need to know that you can make a formula. You just need to convince him that ESN, for example, or your company is a good choice for them.
I perfectly agree with Francisco, and I remember a friend of mine, his name was Nicola, another Italian that applied for FICO and was accepted. He was really a specialist in the IT field. He was just desiring to enter into a committee, so he said, well, I think FICO might need me somehow. He was rejected by the IT committee, so he said, well, let's try. And actually, it was the turning point for FICO at that time, because he was a super master of Excel. So actually, he was able to design all the kind of formula, all the automations possible to simplify the life of the network and the using of some tools that FICO was producing at the time. I also remember many, many other people in FICO which were having no background of finance, but still they were useful to bring experience. We, and generally FICO, is shaped nowadays to help the network. And I think they just don't need the finance expertise. They also need expertise of network. So expertise of people that organize events, expert of people that deal with hard situations of finance or economics or budget in their sections. People that found themselves in the middle of something too big and had to fix that. This is something which is really appreciated, I think. Francisco can also say, no, we don't want them anymore, and I'm fine with it.
No, I totally agree with Alessandro. Again, it's not about the technical knowledge. Of course, that's important to some cases. But again, it's a part of something bigger than we do. In the end of the day, it's probably not the most important thing to have the technical knowledge. There was already economics and finance before Excel and calculator. So it's possible to do them without these technical things.
Okay, great. And actually, now FICO is restructuring. And I quote, the typical teams are gone. So, Francisco, can you tell us why the need for this change in the working groups?
Well, this question looked like it was made after Alessandro speak. Well, again, like Alessandro said, that FICO is losing a bit of the supporting the treasurer and the IB mainly, and trying to be more of a focus on caring for the network and the countries. And for example, in times like this of this virus, it's really important to have someone or some team that is actually going to help you figure out your finances and going to help with more eyes on the problem and try to understand what can we do to surpass the situation, because it's not easy for countries and for sections around Europe to manage 6 months, 1 year of no events, let's say. So it's not easy at all. So what we want to do with FICO, and again with Petya, the vice chair, is we want to make ESN kind of a consulting body for sections. Not only when they are in need, when a section is in need, that's not the problem. The problem was before. So we also want to tackle the countries and sections that they are not, for example, asking for help, but they want to improve. We want to work mainly on those two topics, on helping the sections and countries that need, but also helping to support and developing strategies in partnerships, in ESN card policy, in events policy, to help them getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So even big countries that are already good may want this help and this attention to help them.
Alessandro, do you think this could work better than in previous years?
Well, there is not a better work and worst work, in my opinion. There is just a different kind of work which is required for the times you are dealing with. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, the carbon structure of FICO and this new system is something which comes from a bit of the past times. Maybe Francisco even doesn't know about that, but in 2016, I think, we launched an email which was named askfico@esn.org. And that was a folder, an email that every level of the network can just use to request our SOS, let's say. So if you were having some issues, just ask FICO. We were having different kind of skills and we were selecting the people to answer you and to give you the support you were needing. This is, in my opinion, day after day more useful, not just for these viruses and plugs and whatever, but also because ESN needs to grow. We have a revision which was approved. We have a structure which is changing and improving. Many countries are going more into a professional level, and that's necessary. The financial side is necessary to grow. Mm-hmm. So approved.
Okay.
Just for a note, I know about that email, Ask FICO. And it's actually one of the things that led us to want to make more Ask FICO the main objective of FICO and not just one more thing. Because as again, Alessandro said, for example, the audit is not in FICO anymore. The role of the partnership team is diminished again because of the office. And so again, it's turning FICO from the IB for focus on the IB to focus on the network, because again, a lot of countries that already have so high, they will need that help, but also especially this, since our network is growing, small countries and countries that are entering the network can have already a feedback and an help in this financial aspect of everyday life, because it's really important, the financial part, when they enter the section. So we want to, let's say, eliminate the gap between the rich countries and the countries that are better established and the ones that are behind, because of so many reasons, you know. It can go for HR reasons, it can go for reasons that are, you know, 1 year they don't have human resource and the other they have. It can be a lot of problems, and we are here, FICO is here to with people that have already, again, experience in so many different levels, mm-hmm. that they can develop and they can help these sections in these countries.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a way to reduce the gap between local sections and the international. I think it's something that ESNers complain a lot, or I mean address a lot, the issue. So I think it can work really well.
I remember a volunteer that went into FICO and then had the first FICO meeting, and she was doing selfies around. Oh, look, that's the international treasurer, and doing picture and sending to the local level. So yes, that's also true.
And FICO is now recruiting. So I want to ask you, try to give us a 30-second pitch on why should someone listening to this should join the committee. So one at a time, I'll decide the best one, and maybe you can even convince me to apply.
That was nice.
No, I'm kidding. I'm going to stick with ComCom.
First of all, if you are hoping to come because of girls or boys, don't come. This is not Alessandro's time. So it's basically, if you want to help the network, if you feel that you have stuff to do in the fields of finance, partnerships, and if you are motivated into helping the other sections and countries, you can just come to FICO and be part of the Cool Kids Club. It's less than 30 seconds, see?
Amazing, yeah, I was counting.
You can go, Alessandro.
So I think committees are generally the branches of ESN which are giving the strongest skills which actually are required by the job market nowadays. And FICO is the perfect gym to start training yourself without any damage, because again, we are volunteers, and training new skills where you can actually then use in your companies and you can learn and grow.
All right. Less than 30 seconds as well. Very good.
This is what happens in FICO. You get efficient, okay?
I can't even choose. They're both so good.
Even Claudia is going to join.
But anyway, I'm going to stick with ComCom.
That's too bad you're sticking with ComCom, really.
I agree with you, Alessandro.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Claudia.
We finished the interview. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Alessandro.
And thank you all for listening to another episode, and see you next time.